But we know and we recognize each other from the photographs. But when we see them, we don't just, you know, ignore them and then hold the photograph, take the photograph home. No, the photograph leads us and helps us to identify the real person. So the real person comes, if suppose a person looks like, like some other people, then he comes and we see, oh, let me see, the photograph says you got two moles on the cheek here, let me check here. Yeah, that's right. And it says you have these ears that are slightly sticking out. Okay, yeah, no problem. That confirmed, right? Your hair, okay, your hair can change a little bit. Oh, no problem. Your eyes, okay. You know, and you check. Same way, this Bible tells us how to experience God and what the experience of God is like. So this Bible tells us whenever something's happened or things in a spirit experience, you get back to this word, and this word will tell you all those things. And you check, let me see, now, this doesn't glorify Jesus, no, it's not in line with the word, no, it's immoral, no, it's wrong thing, wrong word. So you can check back with this word, so important, the written word. But remember this written word must lead you into a greater experience of God. It is two different things. Remember, there's two different things to know God and to know the revelation of His word. And they both must develop side by side. So that was the third development of Samuel before he entered the office of God. Before he entered what we classify to be the fivefold office, but in his times it was a threefold office. So he understood the word and the revelation of the word. And even the most accurate men of God today, among them, and he asked them, how does God's voice sound to you? Do you still doubt God's voice? A lot of them, if they're honest to you, will tell you that they still miss God at times. Say, why is it so? And I have come to the stage to believe and to know that in this world, if you really want to live in God's perfect will, not to miss God at all 24 hours a day, it takes about 4 to 5 hours of prayer and time with God, minimum. Well, the rest of you say, wow, habis. I must be out of God's will. No. Right. I'm not talking about hearing from God once in a while, but I'm talking about living in the anointing. Okay, understand that. Living in the anointing where you know and you hear what God is saying all the time. Where you don't even slightly stray away in your mind, in your thoughts, or even in your attitude. If you're a normal Christian who spend about 1 hour with God or 1.5 to 2, probably throughout a 24-hour day, there are periods of time when a bit of wrong attitude comes into your life and you've got to bring it back again. And you may not realize it sometime until the next morning. Sometimes some people don't even realize until the next year. Or something. I'm talking about the normal and the best that if you really want. Now you say, brother, you put so high a standard under none of us can. It is the way God meant it to be. We are not of the world. And I want to share my heart with you. I really know that there is a spirit of the world that will influence you. You see, I have many close friends who grew up together with me, and they started off in the ministry with me, some of them in the secular world because they're not called into full time. And some of them, I don't know, share this now, others will think I'm very odd, right? I don't want to be oddball, right? I want to be normal ball. But if you don't mind, you know, see, seeing into the spirit has come to be quite normal. And now when I share it, some people are going to attack me, some may crucify me, whatever, but I'm just sharing it what is there. Sometimes when it's in the spirit, when I look over people's life, I could see an aura about them. If they have spent a lot of time with God, I could see almost a light coming from their eyes and their face. Other times when I'm in the spirit and I look at people, I see a sort of dark shadow on their lives. And sometimes it attached to them. And what happens in the spirit world, I know, is this. that is a spirit of the world. You see, there's only two worlds, the world of darkness and the world of light. And I want you to know that 1 John chapter 1 talks about there is a kingdom of light and there's a kingdom of darkness. And it says that if we are to fellowship with one another, we must walk in the light and not in darkness. I'm not talking things that are out of the Bible. I'm talking things that are straight from the Bible, except the standard could be so high that it may look so abnormal. But John the Apostle says that if we want to please God, we must walk in the light and not in darkness. Do you know what John says in the Gospel of 1 John? He says that even if you hate in your heart, you are in darkness. If you hate your brother, you are walking in darkness. Am I quoting something from the Bible? And you see what happens when darkness is in people's life, even a believer's life. In the spirit, when I get into the spirit, you could see almost that shadow that is on their life. It's not a demon, it's not a spirit. But it's that thing that you could see affecting their thoughts, their mind, and their desires. And so one particular brother, right, was with me just in the early days when I started my ministry. He had been with me for 10 years. And he was not calling the 5-0, I was calling the 5-0. He has his own business. Sadly, I share, and I'm still praying for him today. During the past 2 years, sometimes when in the spirit, I saw this dark aura around him. It was not death. Death is a different thing altogether. It was just that spirit of the world, I call it, darkness coming in. And it begins to affect the way he thinks, the way he do things, the way he perceive people. And after some time, he became what I call worldly. Worldly-wise and materialistic. But it started long ago. It started in the thoughts. And I already could see in the spirit. And I'm praying for the person. Now, it's very real. I'm talking about the spiritual world as something real. Even though I may look odd, but it's something real. One day, when we all die, and we all go to be with Him, and you could replay this, you realize what I'm talking about is real in the spirit. But because we are so natural, we don't believe in the spirit world that much, and how closely it affects people's life. But even if you have a wrong thought, or something wrong, and a worldly pattern comes into your life, there's a darkness that sort of perverted your life. That's why John actually says, walk in the light. Walk in the light. The light of God. The light of the Word of God. The light of the Spirit of God. So that we could be what God wants us to be. And so in this third area that we're talking about Samuel, how he has to move into the things of God and he has to discern the things of God. And you know, when God showed me these things in the spirit world, I began to see people's lives and see some things there that I never saw before. I myself thought that there was something wrong with me. And then when I began to realize that it's there all the time, I was astounded when I saw some of those drawings that they sometimes draw, these saints and the halo around them, you know. And I realized, whoever draw those things must have some sort of revelation too. I'm surprised that they had it. But it's something there that the normal person cannot see. But when you begin to see into the spirit world, you begin to see all these things that are there. You see the spirits of people and how their conditions are. And so there's a third level where Samuel began to prepare and move into. He moved into the spirit world and he moved into the Word. But he has not moved into the fivefold or the threefold ministry that God has called him yet. See, there's a timing of God. And God waited until the worst happened, which is the ark being taken away. And there is a different thing. I want to emphasize, there is a different thing of the presence of God and just a religiosity. See, in 1 Samuel chapter 4, in 1 Samuel chapter 4, we see here that the people, the Israelites, were going to battle, and when they, in verse 2, they were defeated, they already were losing. Then they bring the ark thinking the ark will help them. Why? Because the ark helped Joshua. But there's a difference. You could sing the same song, but if you don't have that presence, it's different. How do I bring this across in the spirit world? Every one of us carry a certain amount of presence of God. And every one of us have become aware of the presence of God to a certain extent. Now, if you are not aware of the presence of God, you cannot impart the presence of God to people. So that is why they try to copy everything outside, but they don't have the real presence of God in their life. They were living in disobedience and sin. Even though they could be shouting. You see, sometimes people think that the louder you sing, the louder you shout, the louder you clap, the anointing is there. Not necessarily so. Like last Sunday was a graduation of our first year's Vision College students. And during the time when we were presenting the certificate, an ordinary looking event, there was not much singing at all, no clapping, nothing, but they were just lining up. And I tell you, when they were lining up and coming up, I sensed their presence strong. It was not caused by any singing or clapping or shouting or dancing. Although during that worship, Elijah was there yesterday, they were dancing during the dancing part. But there was an awesome presence that came in just by the handing off of the certificate. Like there was a heavy impartation over people's life. And you just felt like crying when you stand in that kind of presence. And I'm talking about that presence. The presence of God that is not artificial. That you cannot just work it out. You sweat it out. You don't sweat out the presence of God. It's not in your pores. But when the presence of God is there and you rejoice, you can sweat it out. You can sweat yourself, you know, enjoy God's presence. And that's the difference in having that presence. Oh, how do I impart and get this across? You see, when that presence is there and God speaks, it's so loud and clear, even though the person next to you cannot hear, that it sounds as if another person standing right there talking to you. But when that presence is not there, you see, the presence can increase and decrease. The presence of God can be in measures. Just like the glory of God is the presence of God. The glory of God, glory to glory. There are degrees of glory. When the presence is thick, the voice is loud. When the presence is thin, the voice is soft. Not because of God, but because of our ability to maintain that presence. And when the presence is thick, it sounded loud. When I got back last night, after a long day in church, I got back about, usually I get back on Sundays about 7 p.m. We started at 7 a.m. And we just rested, we went back. And that night, when I was praying, reading through one of the dreams that somebody wrote, and it was an urgent thing. So I read, the Holy Spirit spoke so loud, I thought it was the next person standing next to me. But there was nobody there. He says, get up, go to their house now and minister. I say, what? God, 11 p.m. I don't want to be that guy knocking at midnight. I tell you, when the Holy Spirit tells you, you go. And I phone the person and say, God told me to come, I'm coming, see you soon. And I tell you, it was so heavy. I felt like a thick cloud went with me, that presence. That's why I'm talking about hearing that voice, obeying that voice. It brings blessing. It brings tremendous blessing. And there's an art of learning to move into that. Strong in the word, strong in that presence. And so that's what they didn't have in chapter 4. Now, the main thing that Samuel succeeded in building up in his life, he was Samuel in the book of, let's look at the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 35. It says, then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. That is a prophecy about Samuel. Samuel was a priest. That verse tells you he was a priest. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 Samuel, and we look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 20. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord.